Poly is invented. What Poly describes is not. It is happening across Southwest right now. This is their story. In Cheltenham, healthcare workers who want to train as nurses find themselves caught between training places that exist and funding that has been withdrawn. The constituency sits in England's least deprived decile, yet the machinery that should connect willing people to essential skills has been deliberately constrained by Treasury spending limits that treat public investment as household debt.
I always knew I wanted to be a nurse. Not in the way some people say they always knew, when they're looking back and trying to make their life sound like it had a plan. I genuinely did. When I was 17, I volunteered at Cheltenham General during sixth form. I watched the nurses work and thought, that's what I want to do. Not just the caring part, though that mattered. It was the way they could read a situation, make a decision, act on it. They had skills that made a difference. After college, I got work as a healthcare assistant. 3 years of that, saving every pound I could, learning everything they'd let me learn. I lived in a tiny flat near the town centre with my rescue cat, Biscuit, and I was happy. Not because it was easy money. Healthcare assistants don't get easy money. But because I was getting ready. My mum, who'd taught primary school for 30 years, kept asking when I was going to apply for nursing training. My dad, who worked for the council until he retired, said I should have realistic backup plans. But I didn't want backup plans. I wanted to be a nurse. In 2019, I applied to Health Education England for nursing degree funding. I'd done the research. I knew my grades were good enough. I'd worked in healthcare for 3 years. I had references from ward sisters who knew my work. When the rejection came, it was a form letter. All training places in the Southwest were filled due to constrained budgets from Treasury spending limits. That was the exact phrase. I remember it because I read it so many times, trying to understand what it meant. I thought maybe I'd been unlucky. Maybe next year would be different. So I reapplied in 2020. Same rejection, same phrase about constrained budgets. This time I called them. The person on the phone was polite but firm. There is no funding, she told me. The budget has been cut. That sounded reasonable. Budgets get cut. I accepted it the way you accept bad weather. It wasn't personal. It was just how things were. I tried a different route. I applied directly to the University of Gloucestershire nursing program. I thought maybe I could find funding somewhere else or pay my own way somehow. When I called to ask about my application, the admissions officer was surprisingly honest. We have the physical capacity, she said. We have the lecture halls, the simulation labs, the clinical placement partnerships. But we have no government funding allocation. We can't run a program without the funding stream. So I contacted NHS England. They directed me back to Health Education England. Health Education England repeated the same line about Treasury spending limits. I was going in circles, but every person I spoke to sounded genuinely sorry. They all said the same thing. We'd love to help, but there's no money. In 2021, I was working a shift at Gloucestershire Royal Hospital. During my break, I walked past the nursing training wing. I'd heard there used to be evening courses there, part-time programs for people like me who were already working in healthcare. The corridor was dim. The lecture halls that used to buzz with students were locked and dark. I found the facilities manager and asked him what had happened. Training budget was cut by 40%, he said. Happened 2 years ago. We've got the space, but we can't afford to run the programs. That's when the contradiction hit me. I was standing in a hospital that couldn't recruit practice nurses. I knew this because I'd heard the ward managers talking about it constantly. GP surgeries in town had vacancy signs up. The local care homes were desperately understaffed. And here was a whole wing of the hospital, designed for training nurses, sitting empty. Then I found out about my neighbour, Elena. She'd moved to Cheltenham from Romania 2 years earlier. She was a qualified nurse, had worked in cardiac units in Bucharest. But here, she was working in a care home because NHS trusts couldn't afford to hire her at band 5 pay rates, despite being chronically understaffed. She had the skills. The wards needed the staff. But somehow, there was no money to make the connection. I started to understand that the phrase, there is no money, didn't mean what I thought it meant. The people existed. Me, Elena, dozens of others I met, who wanted nursing training or couldn't get nursing jobs despite qualifications. The buildings existed. That empty training wing, the lecture halls, the simulation equipment, gathering dust. The need existed. You couldn't walk through Cheltenham without seeing job adverts for healthcare workers. So what exactly was it that there was no money for? I used to accept the excuse that there was no funding available. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the facilities were available. They were. All of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. HM Treasury decided that training nurses was an expense to be minimized, not an investment in the workforce the NHS desperately needed. They treated the government budget like a household budget, as though the government might run out of the currency it creates. I'm still here, still working as a healthcare assistant, still watching the training wing sit empty while the wards stay understaffed. But I understand now that what happened to me wasn't bad luck or unfortunate timing. It was a series of political decisions made by people who had alternatives. They chose to cap Health Education England's budget. They chose to treat public investment as debt. They chose to leave the resources disconnected from the need. This isn't just my story. Walk through any town in the Southwest, and you'll find the same pattern. People who want to work, buildings that used to train them, employers who need their skills, and a funding system that says none of it can happen because there's no money. But the money isn't the real constraint. The constraint is the decision not to spend it.
What Polly experienced has a name: impossible expectations. This technique demands perfect guarantees before spending a single pound. It's like refusing to build lifeboats unless someone can guarantee no passenger will ever fall overboard. When campaigners demanded better working conditions in Victorian factories, opponents insisted that any reform might hurt profits or reduce competitiveness. Unless reformers could prove zero negative consequences, the status quo remained. In Polly's case, HM Treasury and Health Education England applied this standard to nurse training. They demanded certainty that every training place would produce a nurse who stayed in the NHS for decades, never moved abroad, never changed careers. Meanwhile, they offered no such guarantees for tax cuts to corporations or emergency bank bailouts during financial crises. The NHS is a bottomless pit. We cannot keep throwing money at it, they said. This sets an impossible standard where no amount of evidence of need is ever sufficient. No service is bottomless. NHS costs are measurable. The UK spends less per capita on health than France, Germany, or the Netherlands. The UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. The real constraint is resources, people, skills, materials, time. In Cheltenham, those resources were sitting idle. The resources existed, the people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Cheltenham ranks 518 out of 543 English constituencies on the English Indices of Deprivation 2025, placing it in deprivation decile 10. The constituency has 2,564 registered charities according to the Charity Commission Register for England and Wales. Total grants received amount to £22.9 million, according to 360 Giving Grant Nav. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.